It's a good idea not to do the prayer right after a meal, because then the body will be busy digesting and will draw energy, whereas the nature of the prayer is to let go of all activity, including physiological, in order to be completely open and quiet in the presence of God. Also, some people will not do well if they do it too late in the evening, because as the prayer settles down, it releases some of the energies in the body. And we have to respect the unconscious, and the unconscious has a number of energies that will arise when we are very quiet. Thinking, oddly enough, is like a manhole. It sort of covers over the unconscious. But when you stop thinking, then you become vulnerable to the unconscious, and both its positive and negative energies may begin to arise. And one of these is just plain energy. So that you may find, if you do it just before sleeping, you might sleep for a couple of hours, then you'll wake up raring to go. Everybody has to be creative in finding the right time for themselves in the right space. And I might add here, you have to take your family and other obligations into account. I think the Spirit expects us to respect whoever we're living with, and that peace in the home comes before the time of prayer, and it's just up to us to find a suitable time. We may also notice a few physical symptoms that are surprising the first few times you do this, like a little pain somewhere in the body, or an itch, or a twitch, or a tick. And this is simply some little emotional knot stored in the body from earlier times that is close to the surface of your awareness, and that uses this rest just enough to unwind the knot, so it appears as a little discomfort. The body is the storehouse of emotional undigested material, or emotions that were not processed. So it's the place where unprocessed grief is lurking. And you can pick this up in deep massage. You sometimes can even recover the event that happened. But most of the time in this prayer, it's just a very light unloading, a light untying of knots that are near the surface of the body. And so it's better to pay no attention to them, and they'll quickly dissipate in a few minutes. Another occasion when it's helpful to remember your flexibility and freedom to adjust to circumstances is when the unloading of the unconscious involves memories that are very painful or emotions that are quite primitive. But the point I'm trying to make here is that sometimes the emotional rush into awareness that bears no relationship to the immediate path is what we call unloading the unconscious. It means that the body has received so much rest that it can begin to assert its native capacity for health and evacuate what is harmful, just as the physical body evacuates material or toxins or waste products. And so there's a psychological evacuation process. And this is prevented by defense mechanisms, repression, and thinking. Thinking is a marvelous way of not facing the real issues of life. This doesn't mean you rethink at certain points, but the constant interior dialogue is like a wall of protection against the unconscious. And so when this is broken down regularly by two periods a day, you gradually develop the habit of listening to the body a little more, and sure enough, the body begins to tell you what's there, and it's unbelievable what's there, waiting to be processed.